in a home. So when they're sitting at the table, child puts a leg on the table. It's, in this home, no legs on dinner table. So it's all from the external factor. Now if that child grows up to an adult and doesn't know that they must learn to grow up on their inside. They grow up on the outside, but they don't grow on the inside. And they're always stretching, pushing the rules to the limit. It's a form of a permanent childhood. I know we all got you, you know, sons of God. But God wants us to grow up where? The higher you rise in ministry, and listen very carefully, all ministers must live in a glass house, and people look to them for the rules. If they don't set the ethics, who else is going to set it? Ministers are those who are supposed to, ministers of God are those who are supposed to set the moral standards. And so we have to mature and have ethics in our life. We have to draw the line and say, I will go with you this far and then no further. And you find this is important. When we talk about splachna and fellowship, to have true fellowship, we must be able to draw the rules. There is no such thing as a fellowship, a partnership, or a relationship without rules. When two humans exist together, straight away rules come. And God sets it. There are rules in a husband and wife relationship. When a cluster or a group or multitude of human beings live together, there will be rules. We have to have that written in our hearts. And that's why we have to mature on the ethical area. When we mature on that area, we will not violate those rules. Just like when you live in somebody's house, and you could tell different people got different personality. In the early days of our ministry, we used to take people into the home, and sometimes they don't have a job. We let them stay and for a period of time, and sometimes it's entertaining guest speakers and guests. And you got all kinds of interesting people. And some people would just, and you say, make yourself at home. And they really do. They make themselves so much at home that you yourself are no more at home. Takes over your master bedroom, ransacks your fridge, empties it, right? If that's once in a while, it's different. But if they live with you for 2 years, your pocketbooks begins to fill it. Your monthly budget includes you, your wife, one child, and one gorilla. So everything changed. So some people don't know the rules. They need people to give them the rules. So when they stay in house, okay, these are the rules. You shall not enter the master bedroom. You shall eat only 2 slices of bread a day. Just like small little kids again. But not everybody is that way. Some people are okay when they move. Even though they make yourself at home, of course they know there's a limit. You know there's a limit in how you invade someone else's privacy. How much welcome you should feel. And some people are different. We have a very nice brother who used to stay with us, and in those days he didn't quite have any place to stay, so we put him in a house, and he was with us for a couple of years. Very nice brother. And he's now still working in a church. And he stayed with us. He's very nice. And outwardly he looks fierce. And because he stayed with me, he used to travel with me, people call him my bodyguard. Right? He was not, I need no bodyguard. Actually, right, he's like kitten on the inside, right? He's not as brave inside as he looks outside. But he's a very nice brother, and when he stayed with us, He would never touch any of our food. Although we say, by all means use it. No, when you need it, use it. There's a give and take measure. Have you noticed? When he needs something, he buys his own thing, he's put it there. And cleans up his own room. Sees something around the house, he would do it. And all these things come out quite naturally for him. He knows the rules. And so these people do it without being told. These are people who have the ethics written on their inside. Where the lines are drawn, how far he can go, how far he can't go. Is it necessary? It is. It is. When you're a child, people set rules for you. When you're an adult, people expect that you know the limits and you know how far or how near to be. And you don't draw the lines. What happens when a rule is broken? It's like when nobody obeys the traffic lights anymore. Somebody will get hurt somewhere. At first, it looks like nobody gets hurt, everybody gets away. But one day, someday, and then usually, somebody will get hurt somewhere. See, we are close to many people and they will say, come, 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 our home is your home. And at any time, if we need anything, if we just need a meal, we could just show up in their house and whatever they have, they would share. But as ministers, we know there is a limit. You don't purposely time your visitation hour to lunch hour. You do it for 3 years and you save 365 times 3 lunches. There's a lot of savings. You don't do that. Understand that when there is no ethics on your side and people welcome you with love, in the end, you will be hurting them because you'll be taking advantage of their love. God says He loves us. Has God ever taken advantage of us? Never. That's God's love. God loves us and He owns the whole world. But does He force everybody to pay tithes? Never. He could have. I mean, He could use thunderbolts. When you don't pay your tithes, the thunderbolts come and exactly burn out 10% of your house. But He doesn't. He doesn't do it. Because God is almighty. But He respects the limitations we draw. See, there are rules that we need to understand. In the book of Philippians chapter 1, it says here in verse 9, and this I pray that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and in all discernment. Our love must grow in knowledge and in discernment. Now the word discernment is the Greek word aesthesis, which is translated in its other root form aestherion in Hebrews 5 verse 14 as senses. Have our senses exercised to discern right and wrong. So when we have our senses exercised to discern right and wrong, we have an internal ethical barometer that tells right and wrong. And that's so much more powerful. That's the object of the new covenant. We are in a new covenant, right? What is the total full object of the new covenant? In Hebrews chapter 8 and in Hebrews chapter 10, it says that this is the covenant that God made with us, that His laws may be written, are written in our heart and in our mind. So that now we keep the law of God because there is an inward change. Not because it's out there for us and God draws the walls or builds the Berlin Wall for us. No, then we won't be following God's law from the inward heart. We won't be changed. We will be following the rules because we can't help it. But we are not changed. The moment the rules are released, we will go wild. That's not what God wants to do. The most important transformation in any ministry is the transformation of the minister himself or herself. That from the time you start to the time you finish, you are more and more like Jesus. And I think that's the greatest reward any minister, whether they be apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor or teacher, can give to the body of Christ. You know what the greatest reward is? They give to the body of Christ another example of Jesus to follow. So that, as Paul said, follow me as I follow Jesus, imitate me as I imitate Jesus, the world and the church have another role model to look up to. That's what God wants. That's the greatest blessing any minister can give to the body of Christ. And yet, sad to see that sometimes a minister start, endure and finish, all they give to the body of Christ is the gifts upon their life, but no example. Because some of them, as they grow, they become more and more cranky, demanding, Hollywood star. That's not what God wants. The more any minister grows, the more we must be like Jesus. And I'm not making it up. I've been 16, 17 years in the ministry. We take care of the top men and women in the world who comes around. People who minister to thousands. And you would expect, when you hear a big name, oh, it's going to be like meeting Jesus. But lo and behold, sometimes it was not like meeting Jesus. Sometimes it was like meeting Cassius Clay or Muhammad Ali. So demanding. Want this. Anything else you want? See, all of us grow up to expect that the more a minister grows in their power and in their walk with God, the more they'll be like God and like Jesus. That's what Philemon is about. To show us that the greatest gift that any life, any minister, apostle, prophet, evangelist can give is not only the fivefold office on the gifts of God on their lives, but that their lives become a blazing fire of a personification of Jesus' personality. Now, there are good ministers too, whom I treasure fellowship with them, and I know they walk close with God. Welcoming them into your homes is like welcoming Jesus. And they behave like Jesus. Some of them have the tag of Jesus, but they behave like anti-Jesus. We must have the tag Jesus and we must behave like Jesus. Be gracious, be kind. Oh, hallelujah. Better don't go too much into that. Alright. But I hope that sets a new generation. See, we want to raise a new generation of ministers who don't make demands. One day say, one day that. Jesus is willing to go to the ghettos. Jesus is willing to go anywhere. Hallelujah. He don't make demands. They just, can we do it this way? Sure, no problem. Is it the best? The best, sure. That's all we want. We're not going to say, you know, put me in a 5-star hotel, put me into this, put me into that, and make sure my offering is at least XXXXX amount, and give me a first class ticket, a to and fro. You see? My, are you sure like Jesus? Jesus will say, no, never. And I would love to do that, and I love to do it many times when I travel. Recently, 2 weeks ago, I went to a church that we were there when it was in its initial starting point in a small little town in Malaysia up north. And so they invited me and went there mainly because I have a love for that place, knowing that's where the Lord showed me that vision of my call. And when I was fasting 3 days and 3 nights, and He showed me the vision of the church, and I saw men of God who have died. They were standing on that building and they were calling me to join them. people like John Sung and Watchman Nee, and I knew that God was calling me to continue the work.